cannot be ruled. To challenge them is to court death.
On a day. Where superheroes rose.
Why would I trust you? You wouldn't.
You were made to be ruled.
And podcasters united. And on the day,
what are you prepared to do?
No offense, but I don't play well with others.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that away, what are you?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
The Marvel cast was born. News, reviews, and superhero-sized commentary. Marvel Cast, Earth's mightiest podcast.
Anyone else?
Now, join your hosts, Dave Senden and Mark Herleman. Podcasters, assemble!
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Alright, gang, and welcome to this episode of Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast. Your only place. Let me start that again. Alright, gang, and welcome to Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, the only spot on the internet where winter is coming, and yes, we are soldiers for it. See, Game of Thrones, I stole your bit. Deal with it. Besides, we run longer than 10 episodes. I am your host, David Senden, the guy in charge of all this. And with me, the symbiote to once Peter Parker, the original Rogue One himself, Mark Herleman. Mark, how you doing?
Dude, that's a metal arm? Cool!
Yes. Oh, man. you took the words right out of my mouth, big guy.
See, this is a movie that when I watched Captain America 1, I didn't think was going to happen. I was like, why would you drop Bucky off the train? Why you throw Mama off the train? You don't throw Bucky off the train. I mean, then of course, I had that little 2 seconds where Bucky was alive, and I was like, oh, I see what you've done there.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
They joined SHIELD to protect people.
Captain, to build a better world, sometimes means tearing the old one down.
And that makes enemies.
He's fast. Strong. Had a metal arm.
ready? All it takes is one step.
People are gonna die. I can't let that happen.
Captain America needs my help.
When do we start?
We just did.
The price of freedom is high. And it's a price I'm willing to pay.
You told me not to trust anyone. This is how it ends. Everything goes.
Looks like you're giving the orders now, Captain.
Damn right.
How do we know the good guys from the bad guys? If they're shooting at you, they're bad.
Okay, this is the one time, only one time, aside from that Ang Lee Hulk miss, and we won't talk about that ever again, but this was the one time where I was like, you're bringing on TV guys to direct a big movie like this? What are you doing? What is wrong with Kevin Feige? Turns out nothing was wrong with Kevin Feige. Captain America Winter Soldier knocked it out of the frickin' park.
Yeah, it was. What's ironic is the Captain America movies seem to be probably out of all the standalone films, the ones that are really the heart of everything that's going on.
Yes.
Which feels weird because you would think Iron Man would have also fallen into that, but no.
Yes, I feel as we kick off May, I feel that heart's just going to be ripped out of our chest.
Oh, yeah. May drives this point home. Like, you know, I'm just hitting the nail on the head, but May is going to drive that nail all the way in and embed it into the wood.
Oh,
like,
dude, seriously.
I mean, when you think about what Winter Soldier did for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, and the Marvel Universe when it shifted from that point.
By, you know, by saving that show, you mean?
Yes, absolutely. Like, I don't know, like the way that they're purposely planning for these installments in the Marvel Cinematic Universe to be pivot points, more so than any other film.
I agree.
You know, we watch Ant-Man, and there's no great insight there. You know, the last Captain or the last Iron Man, no big pivot point there.
No.
They might have to do something like that, but they didn't. But they are doing with the Captain Americas, and. Again, you know, May, like, you can't get any more in your face than the next one coming out.
True.
And in a lot of ways, like, these movies are feeling kind of like what the Avengers movies should feel like, whereas the Avengers movies feel like they're what this should be. You know, the Avengers movies are about the Avengers team, whereas the Captain America movies are about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
It's really weird in that regard.
Well, I feel Civil War is going to bring a nice balancing point where it's about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but also about your team, because your team is fractured. I mean, Civil War is essentially your Empire Strikes Back point of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, of course, you know, you've got such great iconic characters in this. That's the thing, though. Marvel, like, they're kind of almost cheating. Like, they've got so many iconic characters to pick from, and they're all interplaying. They're all basically playing the Avengers / Justice League.
Yeah, they pretty much are.
And, that, I mean, that's working out. But there's, again, so much at play when you think about how far out the Marvel Universe goes. You know, we know that Bucky in the comics, he became Captain America after the Civil War when Captain got assassinated. So, you know, it's kind of like, are they going that direction? Well, we also know that Falcon ends up getting the shield. And we've also seen that they're perfectly happy with jumping certain story arcs and moving other ones ahead. I could see them easily passing Bucky up and having Sam take the shield in this next story, you know, that we get because of the fact that Bucky in the cinematic universe right now, he's got a very tainted past. I could see that America isn't ready for Bucky Barnes to be Captain America, where America could be ready for Sam Wilson to pick up the mantle. So I don't know. Like, curious to see where they go. But I like the way that this one, it dealt with the friendship between Rogers and Barnes, and the fact that, you know, he wasn't going to turn on them, which, again, you know, those stepping stones, which I don't know if they had it planned from the start. But now that we're going into Captain America 3 and we have that moment where he goes, he's my friend, Tony. And Tony's like, I was too. Dude, I'm not kidding, man. Every time I hear that and I hear the way Robert Downey Jr. says that line, I get teared up, man. It makes me want to cry. Like, I'm having a hell of a time not being on Team Captain America right now because I love Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man so much, and I know they're going to make him a villain, and it's just tearing me up. Like, I'm just, that is so hard for me to accept, this slow progression of Stark into this dark hole that he's going to be in, and I'm just like, ah! But again, the story of Captain America Winter Soldier and the way that the friendship of Bucky and that's building to this is just brilliant.
Oh, absolutely, just brilliant. And, you know, I'll just comment where you were talking about the dark hole they're taking Tony Stark into. I'm just like, I'd much rather have him do it this way than, say, a Demon in the Bottle storyline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I kind of feel like Robert Downey Jr. has done his Demon in the Bottle.
Yeah, I mean, when you take all the acting stuff away and you deal with just the guy, like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr., by playing Tony, it puts him in a very dangerous place.
Yeah, it does.
He's recovering, not just alcoholic, but, you know, I mean, the man's had some history with drugs, and Tony Stark goes into some dark places due to his alcoholism, and I mean, that's mirrors Robert Downey Jr.'s life in a lot of ways. So, you know, that's definitely a role when you're coming from, I mean, because I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't drank in over 10 years or so myself, but the temptation's there, you know, and that's the angle. Like, my biggest fear is if I get a best friend that is good peer pressuring, because I'd have this feeling like if I had the right person peer pressuring me, I think I would let myself go right back into that, and that scares the crap out of me. And so I think about him and the fall that he had. I mean, to the point where a judge is like, you know, you need to get your life together and stuff, you know, waking him up, you know. I would hate to see something like that happen to him because he is probably one of the biggest comeback stories in all of Hollywood. You know, so, yeah, that was the one trepidatious aspect of him playing Tony Stark was, you know, it's like the guy personifies him on every level. Including his private personal level.
Every single level, dude. It's shocking.
Be careful there, because you don't want an actor that good to stumble and fall. Because he's done it before, and he fell really hard.
Yeah, you don't want him to stumble and fall until, of course, you write them to it.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the angle of, well, you know, we've been wondering what was going on with Robert Downey Jr., if he was going to get picked up for more titles. We just learned about him being in the Spider-Man movie. But now we have the other side of that. Now it's Chris Evans' turn. He doesn't know when his contract's going to be picked up for more. He doesn't know much beyond what's coming down the line.
Well, I think all their stuff, you know, where the real rubber hits the questionary road is after Infinity War, because I believe they're all signed through Infinity War Part 2.
So, okay, so until that. But the question comes down to, for him, is do they park his character, or do they, you know, I mean, because they've parked Captain America a few times.
Well,
I mean,
no, yeah, I agree. But, you know, we've got a few more years till we answer those bigger questions.
Yeah. Well, Bucky takes his role when Captain America dies. And, you know, he had the same basic super soldier formula that the Green Goblin ended up having. So what we saw with him, you know, he wasn't able to die. He goes to coma and his body rebuilds. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
But Sam getting it is because somehow something happened that the Infinity Serum that Nick Fury and Captain America both have taken, it loses its effect and he ages rapidly. So that basically takes him out of the fight. He's still there. He is he's like a watchtower kind of thing. You know, he's there for, you know, a brain to pick.
Right,
you know,
right.
He's got information, that knowledge, the experience is still there, but he can't physically do the job anymore. Whereas when Bucky took over, he was gone. So, you know, they could go either of those routes if they decided to put that in. But if you think about, like, okay, if they're going to play it tight to their chest and wait to the last second to get him to sign him back as Captain America, I see them killing off Cap. I see him going that route. You'll think the Cap's dead, and he'll be dead for, you know, however many movies they decide, And then right before the movie, they bring him back. Then you'll find out that Chris Evans was signed on again. Well, if they even let that
How's this one for you? Okay, I'll throw this one at you. Then we'll talk more about Winter Soldier. Or, how's this? They dare to pull off in Civil War what the comics do and, you know, kill Cap. And later on, as the Infinity War looms closer and closer, you get Doctor Strange, who does this kind of weird travel back in time, gets Steve Rogers from the 40s, brings him back to present day, and is like, hey, we need you. You're Captain America. We need you here. What do you think of that?
Yeah, oh, I could see that being the case, too. Yeah.
I don't think they would do that, because we know for a fact that Chris Evans, didn't he say something like he's shooting Infinity War Part 1 and 2 for, like, the next 6 months?
I hadn't thought about that one.
So, I mean, I don't see them doing the angle I just said. They could, right? You know, if you really wanted to get super sweaty with it.
Dennis Hopper, Blue Velvet.
Oh, God. Oh, I wasn't talking Dennis Hopper's type sweaty. All right, back to Winter Soldier. Talk about personifying the character. What about Anthony Mackie? I thought he was a stroke of genius for Sam Wilson.
Stroke of genius is the best way to put it, because Sam Wilson's a character in the comics I really don't care for. I'm digging him more that he's Captain America at this moment.
Yeah.
But the old version of the character with the 70s weird...
Oh, the kind of weird pimp angle.
Yeah. Like that version never really set
no,
well.
No, I never really dug that version of the character.
I like the soldier version that they got going on here. And I like the fact that he's got the little hero worship going on. And the costume looked great. And the way that the wings played out absolutely looked like something like you could imagine, you could imagine maybe seeing somebody actually running outside a building and flying off with one of those, but you could imagine a movie where that happens because of today's technology.
Well, I will say, if somebody flew with wings like that, just don't pull an Icarus. That didn't work out too well for a guy.
Yeah. But the other thing, costume-wise, that I really dug was I liked Steve Rogers' look. And again, like, Marvel's brilliant in this regard. Like, whatever's going on in the comics right now, even if the films are behind it, they find a way to bring it up to date. And so, again, like I said, you know, he wasn't being Captain America. When he came back to life, he let Bucky wear it for a while, and he just went by Steve Rogers. And he didn't wear the Captain America, he didn't have the shield, he didn't have the A helmet on. He just had his head off, and he wore the rest of the suit. So when you look at the Captain America Winter Soldier poster, where he's walking with a shield, and you've got Black Widow behind him, and Nick Fury, and the rest of them and stuff, and he's walking towards it, that is the Steve Rogers costume that was in the comic, minus the Captain America A helmet and the shield. Like, they 100% just took it straight off. And I thought that was a brilliant move as well. It's like, nice, keeping that relevance with your comics. Like, yeah, they're separate universes, but you're still finding ways to tie the relevance there. And that was a cool little angle as well. But I the other thing I liked was the helicarriers. You know, we talked in our Deadpool episode about how, you know, they brought the helicarrier in without calling it a helicarrier. And I really felt like this movie helped them do that. Like, you know, we saw helicarriers in, you know, some of the Iron Mans, and we saw them in the Avengers and stuff. But we didn't get in them like we did in this film.
Right. No, I agree there. All right. So let's talk about this elaborate plot. Because I thought, okay, first of all, I will just say, I thought that plot-wise, you know, this whole inner takeover, Hydra growing inside S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, I thought, and this is funny to say of being a comic book source, but this was, for me, right on par or exceeded any Tom Clancy adaptation I've seen lately.
Oh. Man, you're just, like, making me think about all sorts of weird out-of-the-box things now.
Well, go ahead, sir. The weird out-of-the-box floor is yours.
Yeah, I just, you know, that's just too much for me, man. I can't put it into practical words.
you mean I've stumped the Hurleman?
stump me on this one. But it does make me think about, you know, another angle that I don't think we talked about with any of these films at all is the differences between the second or the 2D, the 3D, and IMAX 3Ds and those things. Now, did you watch this in 2D at all or 3D or any of that?
I watched it in both. I mean, I'm not one of these snobs that picks one or over the other. I'm just like, 3D to me, you know, you brought this up, so I'll just elaborate. But 3D to me is so immersive in worlds that we want to live in anyway. I mean, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, this, that, whatever. That I'm just like, I could never understand what the hubbub was. Now, if you have bad vision or poor sight or get motion sick, yeah, I can understand from that point of view. But if you're just complaining that, I don't like 3D, why is it still here? I'm like, well, then just don't go to it.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, like so, when the movie's filmed for 3D, I feel like you get a lot of those, you know, gimmick moments. Like, me and my wife, she watches the Step Up movies, and I don't know if it was, like, Step Up Revolutions or whatever. They have this scene where the guy and the girl are standing over this vent that's blowing air up, and they've got icy smoothies, and they're taking their straw and dipping them in and put your finger on it so you can pull the smoothie out, and then they let it go, so it slides out, and the wind carries it up.
Pure,
it was 3D
the
effect.
Step Up movies are a good example of pure gimmick 3D.
Yeah. And so, like, because you know, we were talking about preferences. I would prefer to watch all these movies in 2D just because I don't – sometimes I get a little dizzy from the 3D stuff. And, like, I went and saw the Star Wars film in 3D, and it was, like, what, two scenes that were filmed in 3D? So I felt like that one really was, like – all it ended up doing for me was, like, all the stars had shadows because I didn't see anything else.
Well, funny you say that because I had told people during the holidays when they said 3D or 2D, I'm like – I'm saying you could do either, but the purist in me was like, what, we didn't start this with things on our face?
True, yeah. And that's the other side of it, man. I mean, you know, wearing that and having the lenses of your glasses line up so the effects work right. But I think for me, like, in the last 6 months, I've discovered that the biggest difference comes down to whether or not it was planned. Like we were talking about those one movies, and when you plan it, when you go too far, you know, because...
Oh, exactly. If it was planned right from the get-go, then I would say, yeah, 3D all the way. But if it wasn't, and it was just some post-conversion, then I'm like, nah, that's where your pick and choose comes in.
And then, you know, you got to worry about when they film it for a 3D, and then you're watching it in 2D, and you're just like, okay, well, that was clearly put in for the 3D people. You know, you're like... Like, and then I used that step up of those smoothies because it was completely, that would not happen. This icy would have just blown all over everybody.
Right. And then everyone would have been pissed.
So that's the thing for me with the 3D aspect. It's like, Marvel seems to have done really well with it. I haven't had any of those moments. Like, and I'll use Star Wars, for example. The 3D Star Wars, I watched the rest of it. I only watched it once in 3D because I have no IMAX 3D locally, and that had only had its 3D filmed for IMAX 3D. So there was like two scenes that felt 3D, and that was about it. And that's something that they seem to be doing really well. Like every one of these that I've seen in the 3D, the effects have worked really well. They haven't made me feel sick. And then when I'm watching it in 2D, I'm not going, oh, well, there was a 3D effect. Oh, well, there was a 3D effect. Like, they've done that in a way, and I don't know if it's purposeful. I mean, I want to give them credit, but I don't know if they've got credit due, you know?
Oh, no, I totally know what you mean. You want to give credit where credit's due. Now, one thing I find really a masterful bit in this movie, character-wise. I mean, first of all, yes, here on Marvel Cast, we gotta take this moment to give a shout out to Gary Shandling and the untimely passing of Mr. Shandling.
Yeah.
You know what, Mark? Whether it's Alan Rickman, Gary Shandling, David Bowie, or most recently Prince, let me just say, and this is a Marvel Cast stance, this year has sucked.
Yeah, it's definitely been taking some legends.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. big time. And as far as Prince is concerned, taking them too soon. But anyway, enough, let's go upbeat here. But a brilliant, brilliant casting to have in here. Robert Redford. Mr. Sundance himself.
Yeah.
Although I will say he has aged well, but HD may not be that kind to him.
Yeah, well, and again, he's another one of those examples of the petticoats. You got to watch out for the petticoats. The petticoats are coming. The petticoats are coming.
Would you not quote that Kurt Cobain wearing Lex Luthor, please? Not on a Marvel cast.
That's probably the best reference for him, though. The Kurt Cobain wearing. I'm like, wait, where's Kurt Cobain? Oh, no.
Look at
like,
that wig on his head, man. You cannot tell me that's not Kurt Cobain's hair.
That's definitely something we haven't had to worry about with these movies
thank
here.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. It's, I'm like, just keep that to DC. We don't know what they're doing. Oh, well. Okay. Artem Zola.
Zola. Now there's a character I was surprised. I'm surprised they brought him back. I like the angle of the Hydra and the two heads and all that stuff. And the way he was brought back was interesting. The fact that he was in the computer.
I thought that was a little MODOK without actually being MODOK.
Honestly, if they wanted to do that, I'd be okay because MODOK's a character I don't want to see. I'm like, that's just an ugly looking character. Like, please God no.
Well, I will say this though. Okay, if they ever did bring MODOK in, how's this? Peter Dinklage as MODOK.
I could give it a whirl. I'll give it a
you
whirl.
You want a MODOK that's sarcastic, huh? You want a MODOK that could start some shit.
Yeah.
And he pretty much does that every week on Game of Thrones anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the last few seasons.
Now, you were actually following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when this event went down, right? I mean, I'm still behind on that. I haven't caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
at all. And we'll discuss that at some point when you do. But yeah, I was.
What happened? Was it like a big event? Like, how did that go down?
They basically, in the, I forget what it was, two episodes. It was two episodes they did it with, but they basically played it like an other side of the camera sort of thing, where the S.H.I.E.L.D. Bus plane would come back in the port, and basically everything would go to hell, and you realize Hydra had taken over.
Oh.
So it wasn't anything too elaborate. It was kind of the, you know, what a movie would have shown you had they had two cameras running. Sort of angle.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely got to get caught up.
as I said, we'll discuss when you do, you know. That'll be a fun show, kids.
Yeah, I like, again, the way they're kind of playing off the friendship between Scarlett Johansson's character, Natasha Romanoff, and Chris Evans, Steve Rogers. Like, I go back and forth because, like, there's part of me that's, like, ready to ship these two, and then there's a part of me that's like, well, but Hawkeye and her, like, aren't they shipping? Oh, no, Hawkeye's, like, they gave us that out finally, so now I can be, like, 100%, like, Team Captain America Black Widow, like...
Well, I know, but also let's keep in mind, if you want the master of weird relationships, James Cameron still holds that title with Terminator.
True that.
I mean, come on, John Connor being... it's just... Talk about confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, this... Okay, so this movie, like, it wasn't like the... like. The best in sequels, but I felt like it did a lot in pushing the story forward. Again, like that whole chapter angle.
Yeah.
Like, it was all critical to get us to the next step. But I don't know. Like, aside from the whole Hydra angle, like that really felt like that was the big push of this movie.
Yeah, it was.
It setting up a lot of stuff for Civil War, but we still had another Avengers movie to follow it. So it was like, again, that breadcrumb trail. Like, you know, you knew we were on the path to Civil War, but this movie kind of, you almost felt like, wow, is Civil War coming out tomorrow? Like, and then you realize, okay, no, they're giving us a slight crumb trail. Yeah, that first one was a pretty big crumb, but the next one's small.
Well, I will say this, and when we discuss Civil War, I'm free to change the angle on my comment, but I feel that the MCU now, right, and this film, Winter Soldier, certainly supports that, but I feel that the MCU is by far the best sort of television, non-television program ever, and these movies that come out every few months are, you're waiting till the next episode.
Yeah. And they definitely have the angle of playing with their TV show down better, the interactions and the interconnectability. So, like, you know, you get this next chapter and you're waiting to see how it ties
well,
in.
Well, you know? To push back on what you're saying a bit with the better between the movies and television, and we'll elaborate on this in a later show, but I feel that a result of that getting better is the split between Ike Perlmutter and Kevin Feige.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, there was a shakeup, I think, at the end of last year where Kevin Feige, who was reporting to Perlmutter a while ago, is no longer reporting to Perlmutter. He's reporting directly to Bob Iger.
Oh.
So, and the interesting part where television is concerned, and when you catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll discuss it further. But the interesting part there is Perlmutter still oversees everything having to do with television. Which is why I think and have my suspicion why the Netflix shows are far more grittier.
That actually makes a lot more sense. Because there's an angle, too, that we hadn't talked about is the Netflix characters showing up in any of these movies. Like, you know, I mean, is that something you hope for?
Well, I do know they're contractually obligated to at some point, should Marvel choose.
Really?
I just don't see how they can do it considering that shakeup.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, I mean... Aside from cameos.
But like I said, we'll elaborate on that down the line.
True that.
All right, so I guess that will do it for this episode covering Captain America Winter Soldier. Mark, always thank you for joining me. You know, and you're always on the side of good. You're never on the side of Hydra.
Is this true?
Or at least so we think.
Hail Hydra.
Yes, we haven't gotten Riley Blanton to weigh in on this yet. and remember, gang, he who leaves the Baxter Building last turns out the lights.
Thank you for listening to Marvelcast.
Legend tells us one thing.
Earth's mightiest podcast.
History, another. But every now and then, we find something that belongs to both.
There are relics that predate the universe itself. An ancient force of infinite destruction.
You have no idea what you are dealing with. This is beyond.
All Marvel and Marvel Studios proper is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company. All rights reserved.
blood.